Okay, the Senate Energy Committee is called to order. It's February 27th, and the time is 11:10, and we do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of Senator Stedman, Wilikowski, and myself, McGuire. I do have a had a tooth abscess this morning, so my apologies if my voice is a little muddled. We have five items on the agenda today. We have Senate Bill 31, which is the Alternative Energy Production Tax Credit. And then we have the four House concurrent resolutions that deal with in-state gas. So we'll go ahead and start with Senate Bill number 31. And we have Trevor Fulton from my office to come forward. We have a CS that is in front of us. If I could have a motion to adopt that. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move that we adopt version /W as CS for Senate Bill 31.
Okay, is there an objection?
Object for discussion.
Okay. So for discussion, I'm going to have Trevor walk through the changes that were made.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, my name is Trevor Fulton. I'm staff for Senator Liesl McGuire. The changes from version Charlie, which was adopted the other week, the first time the bill was heard, and version Whiskey, which we have in front of us today. I'd say the first and most significant change made to the bill was changing the amount of the credit from 35 cents to 2.1 cents per kilowatt hour. We heard testimony last time the bill was up from the industry. We also, between the last hearing and this hearing, I spoke to the state of Utah, whose legislation.
And just to correct on the record, 0.35 to 2.1.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. I spoke to the state of Utah, whom we based the bill, whose legislation we based the bill upon originally, and although they have had considerable interest, their sentiments was that the 0.35 cents was not significant in light of the fact that the industry almost unanimously told us the same story. We decided to increase that number to 2.1 cents per kilowatt hour, and that matches the federal alternative energy production tax credit level. Second change we made was to limit the eligibility for the tax credit only to projects placed into service after January 1 of 2010. And the reason we did this was because some of the projects we already have in operation, one example given to us was by AEA Steve Hagenson, swung by the office and pointed out that if we'd put it into, if we applied it to existing hydro project like Bradley Lake, we'd be looking at $133 million in tax credits for that one project alone. So instead of accepting all hydro projects, we just put a clause in there that said it only applied to projects that were put into service after January 1st of 2010. Third change was to cap the amount of the tax credit that can be claimed to 20% of capital investment on a given project. This was in response to a concern by the tax division, and we borrowed that 20% language from existing oil and tax credits. Fourth change was to create a certificate for the transferable tax credit. In order to get the bill to function as the sponsor envisioned, we needed a physical certificate that the department would issue to an eligible party, which could be sold or transferred in the open market. And basically, we had to have that language in there. We put it in there for this committee substitute. Fifth change was to was in response to another division, tax division concern. They pointed out to us during the last hearing that there was a situation where a power producer could potentially double dip with a federal PTC that the state co-ops to the tune of 18% of that production tax credit. So if we had our tax credit created by Senate Bill 31 in statute and the existing federal 18% of the federal tax credit in statute, then there's the possibility for an entity to double dip on that. We made changes to the bill and to existing statute that addresses that federal PTC in order to address that concern. And finally, we put a sunset clause on the bill, which would make it sunset January 1st, 2025, which would coincide with the governor's proposed 50% of in-state renewable energy use by 2025.
Excellent. Thank you. So we have questions for me? Or
Madam Chairman, just yes. Clarification on the Dorothy Lake issue. So what is the status then of the hydro alternative energy sources?
So hydro is in there, Senator Sedman, but the hydro projects that were in operation prior won't be given the tax credit. So on page one, starting at line 14, subsection B, we created a compromise position there. Rather than taking out hydro as a whole, the tax division originally was concerned about having hydro be incentivized because of the potential loss of dollars to the state. As you know, hydro is the main alternative energy in your region in Southeast, so we wanted to keep it in, but what we did instead was say that a tax credit cannot be claimed for energy produced by an alternative energy system placed into service before January 1st, 2010.
Madam Chairman, we may want to clear up expansions. For instance, if you mentioned earlier Dorothy Lake. Dorothy Lake is basically two phases. The first phase is going in now. There might be another phase in 5 years or 20 years, depending on the demand, that would increase its production capability with additional turbines. Also, there is other hydro sites, existing hydro sites, that may want to add additional turbines, raise surfaces of dams, or spill heights of dams, or other enhancements. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite clear. It appears that this language then would exclude all hydro facilities that are in service. Which I think would exclude refurbishment and expansion, wouldn't it?
So, Senator Sedman, as you and I talked before, if we want to go ahead and adopt the CS, and then we could talk about an amendment to that part. I share your concerns, and we've gone back and forth with the division, but I share your concerns. And then there's the issue of fairness that Trevor and I have talked about, which is that why should we be more favorable to individuals who put into place alternative energy today and seemingly punitive to those who had the foresight to put them in years ago. It seems like that creates an unequal playing field. So I had that concern. The Division of Tax was concerned about, like I say, Bradley Lake, but I share your concerns. So we could adopt the CS and then go ahead and make an amendment.
Okay,
any other questions? Senator Wilikowski.
Do we have a fiscal note for this?
There is.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, if I may.
Hold on.
The last update I got from the division was that the fiscal note they do have will remain indeterminate. And I do have a member of the division in the audience who could address that specifically.
Okay. Would you like to have the division come forward?
Does this go to resources?
Yes.
Okay. We can work on it in resources.
Okay. Yeah, I think one of the difficulties that we've had in talking with the division is that it's something from nothing. I mean, we don't have these projects in existence yet. We don't know what kind of effect the incentive will have. We hope that it's good. We hope that this alternative energy tax credit incentivizes many projects throughout the state. But we're reducing our state share that we would otherwise get in an effort to incentivize it, but it's really difficult to put a concrete dollar amount on it. And I think that's where they were coming up with the date of January 1st, 2010 in an effort to reduce the amount of state take that would go away from those that are easy to quantify. But I share Senator Stedman's concerns that it creates an unlevel playing field. So when we get to resources, we can have more testimony from the division, but my suspicion is it'll remain indeterminate. Okay, further questions for Trevor?
I'll go ahead and remove my objection for adoption.
OK. Okay. Any other objection to the CS for Senate Bill number 31 backslash W? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then we do have the CS properly before us. Senator Stedman.
I move amendment number one to strike language line 14, page 1, and line 1, page 2, to be further worked on in the next committee referral.
Okay. Amendment number one is before us. Is there debate? Senator Wilkowski.
I mean, and I'm, I know we can discuss this further in the next committee. I'd just be concerned financially if we take that out completely, then everything that's been, we're talking probably hundreds of millions of dollars in tax credits. And I don't know that that's the policy direction we want to go, but I'm not going to object because it does have further committees to go forward, and we can maybe get into the finances a little bit more in future committees. So I won't object, but I do think it's something that we need to talk about. And I think Senator Stedman raises some valid concerns about expansions and things like that. I mean, we certainly want to encourage that, but at the same time, it's going to cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars for things that were done 20, 30 years ago. I don't know that that's the best public policy either.
I would agree, Madam Chairman, that we don't want to look back in time, but it would also give us the ability then to craft a language within the bill in the next committee to clearly target future expansions and upgrades of existing systems.
Absolutely. Okay, so any further discussion on amendment number one? Is there an objection? Okay, hearing and seeing none, that amendment number one has been adopted. And that brings the bill as amended back before us. We do have a couple folks that want to testify briefly, and so we'll go to Cordova to Hap Simmons. Are you there?
Good afternoon. Yes. Thank you very much, Senator. I signed up to testify before seeing any text from the bill, and really have nothing to say after listening to Trevor's explanation. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And Clay Copeland, there in Cordova?
Yes, thank you, Senator. I just want to say that the 2 cents a kilowatt hour, I think, is much more in line with industry standards, and it offers a real incentive. So I think that was a great change. And there are several renewable energy projects in the pipeline for 2009. If there was any way to make January 1st, 2010, the first eligible tax credit date, but allow projects built as or put into revenue service, for instance, as of January 1st, 2009, I think it would benefit some of the projects that are actually, the construction might be completed before the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. And the bill does have a further referral to the Resources Committee. And what I'd be interested in is a little bit of an update on what projects that you're aware of that are out there. And I'll work with my staff to try and identify others that might be in the works. But to the extent that you can put your fingers on information about projects that are in the works, we would sure appreciate it, Clay.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. I know a few off the top of my head, but I'll put a list together and get it to your office.
That'd be great. Okay. Is there anyone else online that wishes to testify in Senate Bill number 31? Is there anyone here in the audience that I've overlooked? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then public testimony is closed, and that brings the bill back before us. And I just want to say thank you to Trevor and to the committee. We're hoping that this bill will truly incentivize alternative energy projects in the state. Certainly with the stimulus package, we know there's even more focus on alternative energy, and we hope Alaska can become one of those places on the map that people look to invest their dollars. Mm-hmm. So, Senator Wilkowski.
You'd like a motion, Madam Chair?
Yes, I would.
Move that we move the CS for Senate Bill number 31 backslash W onto the next committee of referral, along with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
As amended.
Is there any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill number 31 as amended has moved out of this committee. Okay, that brings us next to the four House concurrent resolutions coming from the other body. And do we have a representative? Here we go. Welcome to Senate Energy.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about them.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Margaret Dowling. I'm staff for Representative Ramirez. Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for the opportunity to present House Concurrent Resolutions 2 through 5. If Representative Ramirez could be here today, he'd probably begin by explaining that this reminds him of the question, when asked, how do you eat an elephant? The answer is one bite at a time. So each of these resolutions, Madam Chair, attempt to tackle the issue of getting a bullet line with affordable natural gas to hungry local Alaskan markets one bite at a time. House Concurrent Resolution number 2 addresses the supply into the gas line equation by encouraging the administration to take all actions necessary and appropriate to promote the development of a bullet line. To identify entities in Gubik or elsewhere on the North Slope that may have sufficient quantities of natural gas to support a bullet line, and for the administration to negotiate a commitment with that entity for natural gas production on commercially reasonable terms that would support the economic viability of a gas line. House Concurrent Resolution number 3 is the next bite. This resolution addresses the demand end of the gas line equation by encouraging the administration to exercise what power it has to expedite the reopening of Agrium, the Agrium plant in Kenai. As you know, the Agrium plant closed in 2007 because it lacked an adequate supply of natural gas. At its peak, it employed as many as 250 people, and it manufactured fertilizer and ammonia for both local use and export. So House Concurrent Resolution number 3 also supports the farming industry in Alaska. Farms cover over 25,000 acres in 5 boroughs. The value of those farms is somewhere around $22.7 million, with more than 300 farmers in the Matsu borough and around 130 in the Fairbanks area. Since the closure of the Agrium plant, farmers have experienced about a 400% increase in the cost of fertilizer, and farming jobs are expected to decline about 150 positions. So reopening Agrium will support not only the economic viability of a gas line, it'll also create jobs and support the farming industry in Alaska. House Concurrent Resolution number 4 also addresses the demand side of the equation through export. It requested the governor advocate for an increase in the volume of gas that may be exported under U.S. Department of Energy licenses up to 60 billion cubic feet per year, with that increase to be supplied by North Slope Gas. With the current licenses set to expire in 2011, the Kenai LNG export facility could be forced to close unless they find additional supplies of gas in the Cook Inlet and if some of those licenses are not extended. By supporting an increase in these export licenses, the governor will be taking the lead to ensure that Cook Inlet natural gas demand supply is provided and that a bullet line from the North Slope to Cook Inlet is an economically viable project. The last resolution, the last bite, House Concurrent Resolution number 5, gives the administration a timeline for these projects. And it basically says, lend a hand, use the resources you have, then get out of the way. It requests that the governor assist and facilitate the process for a private entity to make a final commitment decision before November 1st, 2010. So in summation, taken together, these resolutions urge the administration to take the lead to help support a natural gas pipeline for in-state gas. Alaskans need a cheap, clean, and reliable source of fuel, and a bullet line will satisfy that need. The governor has the authority and the resources to help make that happen, and these resolutions just encourage her to do so. Thank you for taking the time to hear these resolutions, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Some questions. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Looking at your first resolution, HR2, You talk about 180 billion cubic feet per year, and can you translate that, I think, in terms of MCF per day?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have the provision in AGEA that we can't go over 500 MCF per day. So how many MCF per day is that?
Right,
180 billion cubic feet per year. Do you have the translation of that?
I don't. MCF per day? I imagine your math is probably quicker than mine
on
short notice. But I would reassure you that nothing in these resolutions would come into conflict with the AGEA, that the intent is that any pipeline that would be built would fit within the limitations of the AGEA.
Yes, Senator Wilkowski.
Madam Chair. Your page 2, HCR 2, lines 13 through 18, again, you talk about exporting natural gas overseas, and if you have 60 billion cubic feet for railroad residential customers, 60 billion cubic feet for industrial use, is that sufficient to supply all the necessary natural gas for Alaskans? And I guess my point is, I don't want to support shipping gas overseas if we're not taking care of the needs of Alaskans.
Right. And Representative Ramirez understands that, through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, that you have those concerns. And again, these are resolutions. They don't have the force of law. It's a way to encourage a consistent demand so that the economic viability of the pipeline could be met. But there will be many opportunities to weigh in on these licenses and, if necessary, to impose restrictions, I would assume, so that local demand is met. I also would like to call your attention, through the chair, to some of the amendments that were made. One in committee to House Concurrent Resolution 2 was adding the language for all Alaskans first.
Yeah.
And so the priority here is clear. And I hope that answers your question. Yeah.
And then
Senator Wilkowski.
Could, Madam Chair, thank you. The issue of the time availability for Gubik gas came up, as you know, in a resources hearing, Senate resources, several weeks ago. And NSTAR is saying they need gas for South Central by 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And Gubik won't be online at the earliest until 2016. So just in terms of, you know, by the time you get to 2016, we're talking about a big gas line being available in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I know we all want to get gas as quickly as possible to consumers, but can you talk a little bit about that and the disconnect there between when gas is available and when we need it?
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, I don't have the answer to that, but I know from prior conversations with Representative Ramirez that there's an expectation that there are many other sources of natural gas and that all sources should be explored, and that although in the resolution specifically Gubik and the North Slope are mentioned, it certainly is not intended to be exclusive.
Okay.
Well, and on that point, it does look like on line 23, page 2 of HCR 2, it does say, to promote the development of a bullet pipeline for delivering natural gas from the Gubik area and other areas. This is and other areas on the North Slope. Yeah.
And also, through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, in keeping with what you just pointed out, that it's not just exclusive to any one producer or entity, that really the encouragement here is to just go as broad as possible in trying to find sufficient gas supplies.
But I think, and Senator Wilkowski, that's a good point. We heard that, and NSTAR is on the line. We heard that in committee a couple of weeks ago, and it was disappointing to many of us in the committee because I think we sort of had this alignment of dates in our mind. But we understand that natural resource exploration you know, the dates can move, and we have no idea. Maybe it comes in sooner than we thought. But these are really good resolutions. We appreciate the leadership that you and your boss have shown on this, and we look forward to continuing the dialogue. Senator Stedman.
Yes, Madam Chairman, on resolution number 2, that's the 500 a day relative to the earlier question.
Yeah.
Close enough within our rounding. So he targeted 500 in his resolution.
I knew I could leave it to the finance chair to do the math for me. Thank you.
I'll make a note, though, with my vote of approval for this, that while we have to be mindful of that that 500 million MCF limit that's in AGEA, I mean, a lot of things can happen. Mm-hmm. And certainly we have no idea whether or not a pipeline will ever come to fruition under AGEA. And so I would hope that while that limitation is reflected today here, February 27, 2009, it's reflected in the resolution, I would hope that we continue to be innovative and in getting natural gas to Alaskans. And it may well be that we find a project that is larger than that for the pure economics of it, and we have to deal with that when it comes. I know you share those sentiments. Okay, Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. On HCR 5, page 2, lines 11 through 16, your be it resolved section, you talk about basically government getting out of the way, I think is what you said, and letting private entity do this, and that may very well be the best course of action, but how do you envision ANGDA playing into this if we're going on record and telling the governor we want government getting out of the way, and we have a governmental organization in the form of ANGDA that's working on the exact same thing?
I'm through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. If Representative Ramis were here, I think I know what his answer would be, but I'm reluctant to say today. But I can certainly ask him that question. I think that's a very good question, and report back to you after I've had a chance to talk to him.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions? Okay, we do have a couple folks online to testify. We'll go to the Kenai Legislative Information Office and to Lisa Parker.
I'm sorry, I'm only testifying on 3.
Okay.
Thanks, Senator.
So HCR 3, offer your, we've got them all before us, Lisa.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. The resolutions that are before you today are important to help provide economic stability to the state of Alaska and provide gas to consumers, whether it be industrial facilities or those of us who utilize natural gas to heat our homes and provide electricity to our homes. After almost 40 years of operation in September 2007, Agrium shut down the facility due to a lack of natural gas supply in Cook Inlet. At its peak, the facility put over $350 million a year into the Alaska economy, with the majority of that money being spent in the Matanuska, Susitna, Anchorage, and Kenai Peninsula areas. Agrium is in support of a bullet line, and we have had discussions with various state agencies and the companies regarding construction of a bullet line, and we will continue to be involved in those discussions.
Great.
If we are successful in getting a bullet line constructed in the next 5 to 7 years, we could put a billion-dollar industrial facility back into operation on the Kenai Peninsula. That would restore the 250 jobs that were lost. It would provide the Kenai Peninsula borough with a stable tax base. It would provide jobs and income to various businesses and support industries throughout the state that Agrium is utilized. And as was testified, it would also help not only the agricultural industry, but the Kenai facility has also supplied urea to the Alaska Department of Transportation for the airports, both in Fairbanks and in Anchorage. With that, Madam Chairman, I am happy to answer any questions, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Okay, Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. And Lisa, thank you for your advocacy over the years. This is such an important economic driver for the Kenai, and I think we all want to get Agrium back. But let me ask you a question: what price per MCF is it feasible for Agrium to reopen? Do you have an estimate?
I don't have an estimate at this time, and I would be happy to provide you with that information and get that information back to the committee.
Well, and if I could follow, Madam Chair. I know in the past that I think you were buying your gas at around $3 an MCF or so, and I think that was even stretching your ability to make it financially. And with this line, the costs that we've heard are Henry Hub, which can fluctuate. It's been anywhere from $4 to $10, $12 per MCF. And are you convinced that building this bolt line is the best way to provide the cheapest gas for South Central and at a price that you can continue to do business.
Madam Chairman, Senator, in the latter years that the Kenai plant was in operation, we were paying Henry Hub prices plus to keep the plant operational. As we go forward with a bullet line and discussions regarding the price, that's going to be, you know, the devil will be in the detail in terms of what will the price be for the gas that you're purchasing, what's going to be the tariffs associated with the pipeline.
Yeah, it'll be a continued discussion, but we wish you well, Lisa, and appreciate your leadership and all the years of. It's very hard for the lawmakers that were in this building that really tried to help you keep your doors open, and we're, you know, our heart goes out to those 250 employees and to your community, and it's a loss for us, and we hope that we can get gas supplies to you.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you very much to all the members of the legislature and the state administration for the support that you have provided.
Absolutely. Okay, so now I'll go here to Curtis Thayer and Colleen Starring with NSTAR. You have some good news for us?
pause. Colleen and I both are here in support of all four resolutions as they go hand in hand in providing a foundation for a project to move forward. The industrial anchor in Resolution 3, the Agrium plant, or the LNG plant in Resolution 4 cannot be overemphasized in providing a reasonable tariff for the consumers along the rail belt. NSTAR would like to thank Representative Ramirez and all the legislators that have been involved in this issue. And if we look back and go back about 18 months ago, this was because of ACEs and an amendment that the last legislature passed, which helped set a tax rate, which has encouraged the development in Gubik and in the Nanana Basin this summer, and also looking towards the Yukon Flats also. And so these four resolutions help move the process forward. And this will be a long process, but we believe we can be successful in the next 5 to 7 years. And we are both prepared to answer questions.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate all of the time that you've put in this session so far. I feel like you're honorary members. You've been before our committees multiple times in the week, and I know you're busy trying to build a pipeline as well. So thank you very much for being online today. Are there questions? Okay, hearing and seeing none. We do have Tom Lacoste. Are you online, Tom? Okay.
Yes, I am, Senator. First, I'd like to ask that SB 31 be recalled, because when I spoke up, the moderator had blocked my voice transmission and therefore was denied the right to petition my government as provided by the Constitution. But above and beyond that, I'd like to voice my concerns about the bullet gas line as a $4 billion boondoggle for the following reasons. Gas, number one, gas producers will not commit to long-term gas to the bullet line because the tariff cost will be too high, and they, along with the state, could make more money on the main gas line that will follow in a year or two. More than half of the gas, the more expensive northern section, will become obsolete. Half of the gas line, the northern section, will become obsolete a year or two after construction because delivery of gas to Fairbanks will be cheaper through the main line. The overly optimistic projections of the bullet line pipeline tariffs depend on explosion of gas use in South Central. The proposed carbon tax, our ongoing energy conservation measures, along with planned renewable power projects, will greatly reduce gas use, causing the cost per unit of gas to skyrocket to more than triple our current rates. The increased cost will then result in even lower gas use, further increasing the per unit cost. And I made this same argument to the Bonneville Power Administration when they were building their Whoops power plants that were shut down because the cost of electricity became too expensive and they were no longer needed. Any near-term shortage of gas in South Central can be quickly remedied by the cancellation of the export license for Cook Inlet gas that will lower gas rates, and if we still need additional gas in the long term, we could then build a shorter spur off the main line in Fairbanks for less than $2 billion. The excuse that production must be maintained to prevent degradation of the production at fields is a flimsy excuse for maintaining export, where the Agrium plant can provide for interruptible consumption of gas to maintain production rates, and the specific production needs of each field would be required to definitively ascertain if degradation would occur from slower gas production rates. In those fields where degradation would not occur from slower production, gas can be stored for exceptional winter needs. Indeed, some exhausted gas fields on the Kenai are being proposed for this very purpose. On-land storage in tanks as compressed or in liquid form is also being proposed to serve high-use periods, and production can be maintained from degrading gas fields by supplying those storage facilities. If it is determined that continuous production from gas fields must be maintained for gas conservation purposes, the production of fertilizer and employment at the Agrium plant is of substantially greater value to Alaskans' interests and should be deemed a more beneficial use of Alaska natural gas resources as a clear constitutional justification for cancellation of the export license.
Tom, could I just ask this quickly? This is Senator McGuire. Number one, we'd like to receive your testimony in writing, if that would be okay. Number two, we have 10 more minutes before we lose our quorum today, and so I'm wondering how much longer your testimony is, if you could just submit that to us. And
then more short points, Senator.
Okay, and then on Senate Bill number 31, the bill has further referrals, and we'd be happy to take your testimony in Senate Resources as well as include your written testimony into the record on that bill. And my apologies that you overlooked.
Thank you, Senator. May I continue?
So you have four quick points consisting of about a minute's more of testimony?
Or less.
Okay, how about less?
Of the export license for the LNG plant in Nikiski will force the oil companies to look for more gas in Cook Inlet, and the spur line won't be needed at all when new gas fields are developed. For the price of the pipeline, 1 gigawatt of renewable energy could be built at $3,000 per kilowatt and still have $1 billion left over for transmission of those alternative energy sources. So I appreciate this opportunity to testify to the committee. I would urge the committee not to force the state or even spur the state onto financing or spending a thin dime on this boondoggle that is clearly unnecessary given the alternatives that I stated. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom, and we appreciate your thoughts and coming out to testify. And you're right, public testimony is very important. Okay, so that brings the House concurrent resolutions before us. I just want to make one point. I haven't spoken on them. Obvious support, but just to reflect on something in history, we don't always do. When Senator Stedman and Senator Wilikowski and I were in Resources this time a couple of years ago, we had the amendment. I offered the amendment to do the in-state tax credit for Nanana Basin, and we talked about it at that time on the record as to whether or not we thought it would really incentivize natural gas exploration. And it's just really good to hear the NSTAR people talk about it. We've heard others in the building, Fairbanks Natural Gas and others, talk about what that's done, and it's my hope that we continue to see more development. And relating back to the other bill we had before us, I hope that we sit here a couple years from now and look back on Senate Bill 31 and see those similar kinds of benefits. So tax incentives really do help. It's one thing I think the government can do. So we have House concurrent resolution number 2 before us. Do I have any further discussion from the committee? A motion? Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you like a motion on all four?
How about just each one individually for procedure?
Move that we move House concurrent resolution number 2 onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Hearing and seeing none, House concurrent resolution number 2 has moved. That brings us to the matter of House concurrent resolution number 3. Is there a committee discussion? A motion. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move that we move House concurrent resolution number 3 onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Okay, is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, House Concurrent Resolution Number 3 has moved out of Senate Energy. That brings us to House Concurrent Resolution Number 4. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move that we move House Concurrent Resolution Number 4 onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Okay, any objection? Discussion? Hearing and seeing none, House Concurrent Resolution Number 4 has moved. That brings us to our final resolution, House Concurrent Resolution Number 5. Senator Wilikowski.
Move that we move House Concurrent Resolution Number 5 onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Any discussion? Objection? Hearing and seeing none, House Concurrent Resolution Number 5 has moved. And we are adjourned.